Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Robert Hanna, co-founder and managing director at Augusta Ventures. Prior to founding Augusta, Robert served as global head of marketing and sales for the equity finance department of Merrill Lynch. He also co-founded Mako Investment Managers, a multi-hedge fund asset manager, and acted as its CIO. Robert, welcome back to the podcast.
John, thanks very much. Nice to speak to you again.
Absolutely. It's great to have you back. You were on around this time last year, but there's a lot to talk about now that's pretty new, starting with this third pool of funding that Augusta just completed. This is a £250 million fundraise. So let me start with the broad strokes here. What plans do you have for this capital? You're looking at certain case types you're going to try to pursue, new markets that you're looking to gain exposure to. Why don't you fill us in on that?
It's interesting, John. Thanks for the question. Look, we specialize in a number of different areas in the litigation financing space. You know, group claims is a big focus for us, as is competition, construction, general commercial litigation, arbitration, obviously, and something we call bulk. And I think we are fortunate as an industry, and one's got to be careful how one says this, but the last 18 months has certainly seen more litigation coming to light. So if we're looking at new areas, I would say we're looking to do more in the chosen areas that we have invested in over the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay, great. Yeah, Augusta does operate in several markets. Well, in addition to those case types, you do operate in several markets already. Obviously, the UK, Australia, and Canada. The timing of this fundraise, so we're right now emerging from COVID lockdowns. And I think there's a lot of expectations that we're going to have a deluge of legal claims on the horizon here, insolvencies, business interruption claims. What are your expectations for how the various markets that you operate in will develop post-COVID? Are you seeing differences between those markets, say the UK, Australia, and Canada, for example, or do you feel like global jurisdictions are going to face the same types of headwinds and tailwinds?
Look, I think what we're seeing in the old days, pre-COVID, I think litigation financing was always seen as a risk management tool to be used by claimants to allow them to take as much or as little risk off the table in a commercial dispute. There had been a general trend for more lawyers to start accepting litigation funding, and I think also more claimants to be aware of it, and in turn they would go to their lawyers and ask them to advise them on how they should use litigation financing. What I think we've seen over the last 18 months is that the corporates realize that litigation funding can also be a source of liquidity. And I spoke to the CFO of a FTSE 100 company recently, and they were saying they didn't want to waste their money, their words, not mine, on paying legal fees. They had a large amount of cash on their balance sheet, but they would prefer to use someone else's cash if possible and maintain the cash they had on their balance sheet. This is really significant, I think. So cash really is king in this day and age, and therefore people are looking for alternative sources of liquidity. And litigation financing has always been that. We're an option for people. You know, this is never a hard sell. This is what we do. Is this fairly priced for you as the claimant? And if so, you know, let's discuss. But it's just an option that may or may not be taken by the claimant. And as far as claims themselves, we have a pipeline now that is significantly better than it's ever been in our history. Interestingly, I think the pipeline is coming from the larger law firms, arguably the better quality law firms. And yet I don't think the increase in litigation has come as a result of COVID. I think it's just existing claims, possibly pre-COVID even, are coming to light. And people are more keen to pursue them than perhaps they have been in the past.
Yeah, they talk about, you know, the pandemic speeding up cultural trends, and I think this is definitely an example of that, because we have seen sort of a slow adoption of litigation funding amongst like CFOs, as you mentioned, and now it really seems to be picking up, where CFOs are really looking at funding as a way of you know, like you say, accessing more capital and just being able to shift some risk off of their own balance sheet.
And John, it's interesting. It's not just the claimants, because I think what law firms realize is, and even some of the larger law firms, if their clients don't pay their fees at the end of the month, that can be significant for the law firm. And they will realize that a funder will pay invoices at the end of every month. So I think you're getting lawyers more keen to adopt litigation funding, more keen for their clients to consider it. Obviously, it's the client's choice as to whether they use it or not, but certainly the lawyer will know that his or her fees will be paid if the case is funding. And I think that's quite significant.
Yeah, and let's talk about the other side of the coin too, which is the investment side. Some pretty big names subscribe to this fundraise. We have Beachpoint, Magnetar, and Northleaf. Can you speak to how litigation funding is being perceived on the investment side right now? What's attracting these investors to the industry and also to specific fund managers like Augusta in particular?
Good question. Interesting question. In my prior life, I used to work in with Merrill Lynch, and I ran their sales side for the prime brokerage business, actually. And we dealt with many of the largest and arguably smartest hedge funds in the world. And they had very smart investment strategies. I think, finally, professional investors are waking up to litigation funding. The problem is there is a very small amount of reliable data in the industry. So what you'll see the professional investors doing, they are looking to get into this space, but they're looking to get into a space where there is a demonstrable track record and sufficient data to be able to back up that track record. But we are seeing a lot more interest from the hedge funds, from the credit funds, and I think over time, you know, the family offices will be investing more heavily in here, and ultimately, I reckon the pension funds and the endowments.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. Definitely a lot of tailwinds for the industry as a whole. Let's talk about the regulation aspect. So LFJ, we recently held a digital conference on Australia, the evolution of a litigation finance market. So much of the discussion there was centered on the Joint Parliamentary Committee's approach to regulating the industry. And I want to get your thoughts on that, because you're a funder that operates in Australia. So when you think about regulation generally, do you consider it in terms of what's out there, either in Australia specifically or in other jurisdictions? Is it onerous in your estimation, or do you sort of see it as a good thing? I mean, helping protect you potentially from some additional competition that might come in this space, or prohibiting bad actors from operating. How do you view regulation sort of generally? And also, more specifically, what can other jurisdictions learn from the regulatory issues that are taking place now in Australia?
Good question. Before I answer that, I should just say I'm totally biased on this question, so I'm acting as a litigation funder. Strange enough, though, we don't think that regulation is particularly onerous. What we are concerned with, though, is what is the purpose of the regulation? And I would argue that the purpose is to protect the claimants. And particularly in Australia, the claimants, I would argue, are already protected by the courts. So where you get a class action, any settlement has to be approved by the courts. And I think that should be and has been a perfectly sensible way to proceed. And the regulation that is being brought into Australia is more focused, I think, on the unit trust industry of old, or unit trust industry, and litigation funding is a little bit different. It's not you're not protecting cash that's actually available. You're protecting cash that may be available in if there is a positive settlement for the claimants. So my view is regulation per se is not particularly onerous. Will it reduce competition? Well, absolutely it will, which may be good for us. Is it good for the claimant? Probably not. Do we think that the claimants are going to be protected any better by this regulation? We would say no. We think the courts are sufficiently placed well enough to protect the claimant in the current environment. So, yeah, I am not a fan of the regulation that is being brought into Australia.
Got you. Yeah, that puts you in line with the three panelists on our conference as well. So we're not hearing too many divergent opinions there. Let's discuss industry trends. So it seems to me that the industry is sort of in that next phase of growth where we have institutional investors are fully bought in. Your fundraise speaks to that. We have new firms popping up. It's like every month now. And there's even some companies doing litigation funding on the blockchain even. So this is now, it's a really a great time to be like a well-positioned the way that Augusta is with the type of experience you have and access to large capital. You're obviously in a great spot. Let's flip it over though and discuss the other side of the coin. What are some of the threats and the challenges that the industry faces? Do you have any concern over reputational risk of we have these the emergence of a lot of new funders now? Are you worried about that affecting the industry more broadly in terms of the regulatory environment or maybe even just in terms of public relations, how the industry is perceived by law firms and corporates? What do you think are the challenges the industry faces?
Look, I think litigation funding is not particularly understood or well understood by some lawyers out there or legal firms out there. It is not necessarily as simple as some people might think it is. So if you do get new entrants into the market, on the face of it, that's good for the claimants. And our industry will only thrive if we produce a service that adds value to the claimant. Of course, we're in it to make money. Of course we are. But ultimately, we have to provide value to the claimants. Now, if, strange enough, I think that one of the key aspects that a claimant is looking for is speed and certainty of decision-making. Pricing is, of course, important, but many claimants would prefer to get a swifter response as to whether they're going to finally be, their case is going to be funded, than wait another month or 2 months or 3 months, even if it means it would have been cheaper for them if they did wait that time. So my concern is there could be new entrants to the market who are looking to grab market share, and they may do that by making decisions rashly, I suppose, without assessing the full risks there. And in time, if that does happen, that would not be good for them, and potentially that could be detrimental to the clients they have. You know, at the end of the day, the rule, golden rule for litigation funding, is that they have sufficient capital to continue the litigation for their clients all the way to resolution. So, of course, that's the most important thing. That fund has sufficient cash, understands the industry, understands the various risks apparent, and can provide the client with a professional and responsible service, I suppose.
For my final question, I actually want to circle back to the fundraise. So Augusta, you're already the largest funder in the UK by case volume. Does this fundraise imply that you're going to be focusing on bigger ticket cases? It's a very large fundraise. Or will you still pursue this high volume strategy? What can we expect going forward?
No, we're not going to be going for the bigger and bigger cases. We think there are other funders that will lead that to. We're comfortable with the case size we pursue at the moment. But look, we also are active in the high volume strategy. We think that's a sensible part of the business to be in as well. But the single case financing, we think we're very happy to continue funding the size that we do it currently. Unfortunately, that limits the amount of funding. We need to fund at least £1 million. That's typically the golden rule, which I think is probably similar with a number of other funders out there. And the average case size is anywhere from 2 to 5. We've been up to 19 million for one particular case, but we don't anticipate focusing on the larger and larger cases. We just see that, and we already see this, we're seeing more and more cases coming to light that are looking for more.
Yeah, I'd imagine you're having your pick of the litter right now, and probably will for quite a while going forward. Robert, thank you so much for coming on the podcast here and sharing some of your thoughts on this fundraise, which is great news, and industry trends. We really appreciate you coming on, and definitely come back again next year as well. We'd love to have you on.
Look forward to it. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in learning more about Augusta Ventures, you can visit them at their website, www.augustaventures.com. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.